What is up, everybody? Welcome back to University of Adversity. I'm your host, Lance Isios. Today's guest is Anna Lozano. She shares her journey of breaking free from societal programming and redefining success through the balance of masculine and feminine energies. As a Polish immigrant and entrepreneur, she has built a thriving career in network marketing, co-founded Love Powered Co., and now mentors female founders in aligning strategy, mindset, and energetics for lasting impact. Her and I dive deep into the hustle culture trap, talk about how motherhood has reshaped her work-life balance, and the energetic shifts required for true success. We explore the impact of AI in business, the power of authentic human connection, and why personal development is absolutely essential for breaking old patterns. So if you're an entrepreneur looking to scale with alignment and purpose, this episode is for you. And I just want to note, this can also be for men. I know Anna works with women, but the fundamentals and the foundations of what we talk about are very, very relevant for men too. This was a great conversation. I really jammed well with Anna. She's got really good energy. I really like her. There's no fake weird stuff. Sometimes I can just, I don't know what it is, but some people I see on social media or I connect with, I just feel this weird fakeness. And I don't know what it is, my intuition. But with Anna, I was like, oh, okay, she's legit. And I really got to like, I'm like, okay. She's aware, she's just like humble, and I really like that and appreciate about her. And that's why she's so successful, for sure. So anyways, give her a follow. All her information is below. And if you guys aren't subscribed to the podcast yet, please do so if you enjoy listening. I've pushed a lot of people over the years to Apple, so that's where a lot of our reviews and a lot of the traction came from. So if that's where you like to get podcasts, go ahead and grab it there. And hit the subscribe. Or if you are Spotify, go to Spotify, hit that follow button. I want to try and get more traction and reviews on that platform. Because when I started, Apple was the thing. And then Spotify the last couple of years has kind of taken over. But Apple's still a lot bigger. It's just, you know, Spotify's sort of the trendy thing right now, ever since Joe Rogan. So if you want to go hit that review, if you got value from it, would love to get your review on Spotify. All you got to do is hit the 5 stars and or wherever else you listen to this. So enjoy this episode, The Truth About Success, Energy and AI That No One Talks About, with Anna Lozano. In your 15 years as an entrepreneur, what has been your biggest challenge that you have overcome that has helped really define who you are today?
Get right into it. So intuitively, what comes through is really redefining for me what this balance of masculine and feminine energetics is, because naturally I hold this masculine energy, and that, you know, when it's not embodied in a way that feels safe and nurturing and secure, is competition, is hustle, is burnout, is overworking. And that really is what society programmed us humans and women, you know, to do in order to achieve success and reach those goals and dreams that we're working towards. And for me, that started to really shift when I became a mom, and the way that I used to do things, the way that I used to move and operate and achieve, just didn't work any longer. Not only did I not have the energy, but it was just a hard stop. And that for me became the journey, the introspection to look at what needs to shift within. And now this was 2016. So I'm still in this process. And I believe that the reason I was called to come to Mexico was to really dive into this and really look at what does feminine energetics look and feel like for me as a woman, as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner, as a leader, and sit in the discomfort of it. Because my programming was very driver masculine energy. And yet I see the power in it. I see the beauty in it.
And so what did this rebalancing look like? And I feel now I have reached this balance, but it took a long time and a long time of discomfort. And this is why I'm so passionate about this conversation, because I do feel this is where we're all moving as humans, is this rebalancing, you know, for men and for women, and creating and leading from this really authentic, embodied way that feels good. Because at the end of the day, once we reach the successes and the achievements and the goals, if we didn't enjoy the process and we don't feel good, quote unquote, getting there, because we're never actually really getting anywhere, it's the process, then what's the point? So I would say that has been my biggest challenge and yet work that has got me to today.
That's a great thing to start with, actually, because you hear a lot about the masculine and feminine energy, and I know I hear, you know, being a man as well, you know, like there's understanding the balance between the two. And where I'd like to go deeper with that, for people that may not really understand how it happens, how you go more one way or the other, what did that look like for you now that you've kind of moved through it, looking back at a high level, you know, going back in your life and be like, huh, interesting. That's where the pattern started, or that's why I was more masculine, or somebody that, you know, feels that they always have to be do. And until they do the work, they don't really realize why that started. What was that for you? Like, how do you think you were programmed to be that way in the first place?
Yeah. I'd love to visit that and then really tie it into the now with, like, within a marriage, for example, and then within a business as a business owner. But I can see clearly, you know, I'm a Polish immigrant. We came to Canada when I was 6 years old, not knowing the language. My parents didn't have much money and they left everything behind so that my brother and I could really have a different future. And that's really where it began. You know, I witnessed both of my parents really hustling and struggling and overworking. And it was this hardship that I, you know, still comes up for me. Like, this has been a big body of work also, is the subconscious reprogramming around wealth and abundance. But that masculine energy, when you witness your parents, your role models operating in that way, well, that's what you naturally do. And then pair that with the pressures, right? So for me, it was, you have to go to a great school. So I went to the Richard Ivey School of Business. I remember, like, I studied so hard that I got early acceptance into business school while everyone else was, you know, enjoying and having fun and learning new skills. But for me, that was the focus. So it's get to a great school so that you can find a safe and secure job. But even looking at the habits and patterns around that, I started working at the age of 15 at McDonald's and have never stopped. And so last year, you know, coming here to Mexico, where really, like, time stood still, you know, you've been here, you've been to the Tulum region. It's a whole different frequency that you just land in. And it was, you have to look at it differently. You have to start doing things differently. So backwards, you know, started working at the age of 15, got the early acceptance into business school. And then once you do that, well, you have goals to achieve. And so for me, it was, okay, how do I get this career in sales and marketing and work up my way to the C-suite? So it's constant hustle and constant working, striving. And then now it became overworking. And so there was no joy in the process. It was going towards that next goal. And then that patterning came into entrepreneurship for me when I became an entrepreneur. And my first gateway into entrepreneurship was network marketing. And network marketing also holds this hustle culture, because it's, you're working towards your achievements and that rank and that goal and that promotion and that trip and that all of it. And so I was entangled in that, and I got the rising star and I got the trips and I got the incentives and I got the ranks. And then once I got the ranks, I was like, okay, well, we got to go towards the next rank, right? So it was this energy of constant push. And then I was exhausted. Like, when I became a mom, I was like, there's no chance I can continue operating in this way but I didn't know another way. And so I started really looking at evidence around me, like who's doing it another way? And then what happened is I saw the ultra feminine. So like the pendulum swinging to the other side, but I didn't see myself doing it that way. So I continued to resist that way because my evidence was like, oh gosh, like I'm not that ultra feminine and I can't just relax into the knowing that all is coming and working for me behind the scenes. Like now I can relax into that because my nervous system feels more safe around it. But the early onset was like, what is this? Like I can't take baths in the middle of the day because I'm here to produce and I'm here to get results. And so that's the early days.
So how does that change? You know, like, how do you start to embody more of the feminine, the trust, the surrender, but while still, you mean you got to show up, you got to, you know, you can set the intentions, you can, you know, elevate your state, elevate your emotion, but you still have to take aligned action, right? That's a key piece that people forget about things like law of attraction. It all works, but you have to take the aligned action. So where did that start for you? Like where, how did you start to work through that and start to see a difference in how you embodied it?
Yes. And so that's exactly where I started was, you know, the law of attraction and Esther Hicks and diving into that and still questioning it because exactly what you're asking, it didn't make sense to me logically. Like, how do I manifest? And, you know, I just wait for it to come. Like, it just didn't go with my programming. And I would say, so this journey started again, like 2016. And when my first daughter was born, who's turning 9 this week, I would say it was only until last year where I fully started to discover the embodiment of it because I shifted my environment. So if we think about this, you know, pandemic hit, we moved to British Columbia as a family. And obviously you have responsibilities, right? Like we have to remember that, yes, we want to attract and manifest, but there's still responsibilities. There's a family unit, there's business and all the things that come with it. And so the first step for me and my husband is we became very portable. So freedom is a huge core value of mine and his and has this for our family unit. So we became portable really early on, like 14 years ago, we became portable, meaning we worked online and we could shift locations. But even though we relocated and we did all that, the way we worked still continued. So we were in a different location, but we still worked the same way. And with pandemic, we went to British Columbia, got to explore everywhere before we decided to settle in the Okanagan. And yet in the Okanagan, I still continued working the way that I worked, right? There was awareness around it. There was experiencing different things like going to women's circles and maybe adding in more yoga into my day because before it was all weight training, although now I'm back to weight training because for perimenopause, that's what we got to do. So sideline. But then I had the call to come to Mexico. We came here for a month and I said, like, what would this look like? Just the way of life, the pace of life really drew me in. And so I made the call for the family. I said, let's rent out our house in the Okanagan, come to Mexico. And then I was placed in this environment where things are slower. A lot of the women in my community, they flow, they dance on the beach, like they're ultra feminine. They're leading women's circles, they're leading ceremonies. And so I swung fully to the other side. Like, I cannot tell you what I achieved over 18 months because there wasn't. It was an internal work that needed to happen, but success on paper, I don't remember. Like there just wasn't much. It was actually the work of leaning into my husband and trusting that his production, his work, his business was going to provide for us, which was very uncomfortable for me as well. Like we've always been 50-50. I love what I do. He loves what he does. But it was moving into trust and allowing him to lead, which allowed me to surrender more. And let me tell you, Lance, like it was so uncomfortable. Like it's that discomfort brought the growth. And now today I feel embodied in the balance of it. So the way that I see it now is my business has the systems and structures. That's the masculine energy that allows me as Anna, the human, the owner, the founder, the leader to flow in. So I have a lot more white space in my calendar. I have a lot more clarity and yet this peace within that every single client who's meant for me will find me, that every single podcast I'm meant to be on will find me. The stages will find me. The next creative ideas will find me. Like there's this deep faith and trust because I did that uncomfortable work.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you spoke about how your husband is holding that masculine presence for you so that you can be in your feminine.
I never gave him the space to do it.
Right. And I hear this all the time, like the last few years, even myself learning all this stuff, right? I went through this same journey of understanding these different dynamics. And a lot of the reason why women can't be in their feminine is because they've had to be in their masculine, because men don't know how to be men. That's the problem. Most cases these days, men don't even know what being a man is. So then women have to do manly things and provide, and because they had no choice. And all of a sudden we have this thing where it's like, wait a second, how can women be able to be in their feminine? You know, like how can men actually show up as men, not as little children?
And on that too, there's also this part where women have been so in their masculine because that's the only marker for success that they don't actually allow their men to. Like my husband, I mean, he's the most supportive. Like he goes on all my crazy ideas. I know he's there, but because I was so in my masculine, it just didn't allow him. It probably scared the shit out of him. Like, how do I actually do this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I mean, it's not like it's intentional, but it's like, till you understand it, the dynamic, then how can he even know?
Like, that's exactly it. Exactly. How can he step up when I'm actually not allowing him to step up? And so interestingly enough, like me taking responsibility without any guilt or shame, like it's programming and sure. saying like, okay, I now understand this. He naturally steps up. Like it's just, it's so beautiful to witness because it's so intuitive. And yet we've kind of been working against the laws of nature, if we think about it that way.
Yeah, that's why it's so important that we all do the work individually. So that, because it helps the people around us step into their power too, right?
Yeah, their aligned power, absolutely. I have this beautiful client right now. She's launching a relationship coaching business. And, you know, oftentimes with like marriage counseling or relationship therapists or work, you blame the other person. And so it's like, if you change this, then everything will change. But her perspective, which I'm like, oh gosh, this work you're doing is so powerful, is she works with the woman. So the woman taking responsibility. And as she shifts and changes and comes back to her wholeness, her whole balance, her whole like entire balance, everything around her changes. And she's a living story of this. And so I love this awareness because it's an invitation for everyone just to see like, where am I not balanced because of fear? You know, for me, it was like, if I step back, well, what if it doesn't work? What if we don't get to live this lifestyle? Like, what if, you know, all the fears that came through, but because I was kind of forced into it of like, girl, you figure this out because you have to now, I created evidence of, yes, like I get to enjoy and allow my husband to lead and my time will come because this is the thing. Like, I love what I do and I always will. And that this happens too when you're in alignment with your purpose and vision and mission in this lifetime. But again, it's coming back to that wholeness, that balance, and it shifts all dynamics. It also shifted how I mother and, you know, softening within that role and letting go of control where control really is not needed. And that's a false illusion in itself. So everything shifts, not just business, all of it.
How has, because you're talking about network marketing, I did it as well. Are you still doing it? Do you doing both or not as much anymore? Because I want to ask you a question about it.
Yeah, I have a really interesting relationship with it. You know, it was my gateway into entrepreneurship. So I have such deep gratitude. It was also my gateway into personal development and starting off like the Bob Proctor programs and, you know, the Napoleon Hill programs and so much gratitude. And then over the years, I took that first company to the top. And then I've always had it as a layer in my personal brand, in what I do. But to be honest, I really feel right now the industry needs a shakeup because, and I'm so happy I get to talk about this because actually I haven't publicly talked about it, but there's a lot of restrictions with how many products you promote. And so with the last two companies I aligned with, they started giving me actually doing investigations when I started creating other promoting other products. And I'm not okay with that. Like, I'm a sovereign being. Freedom is my core value. There's no crossword recruitment happening. I'm just sharing products that I love. And if that is the mandate that I can only promote one product, then I'm out. Like, that needs a whole reprogramming in itself as an industry, because we live in an e-commerce digital era. Like, you cannot just be married to one product. That's my stance right now. And it's hard because I've been such an advocate of the industry, you know?
Yeah. And I want to talk about how, because same with me, I got into personal development. I was told to think and grow rich, you know, 20 years ago. I think we were even involved in the same company at one point, which is kind of funny. But I learned a lot about that industry. And now looking at business and just the lessons you do learn about having to hustle are really important for entrepreneurship. I know that, like, obviously there's a point where hustle is kind of gets, you know, like we're talking about, it goes overboard, but there's a lot of like discipline and there's a lot of the fundamental pieces that you need to be successful that a lot of entrepreneurs I find those are essential in being successful, because a lot of people sometimes think starting as an entrepreneurship is going to be easier. It's going to be, oh, just fire my boss and just jump in and it's just going to be easy. It's because we were sold this like laptop lifestyle, digital, automate everything. And that's just not the case. Like, it's just not. And if you don't have that ability to handle, you know, getting knocked down over and over again, and just like the fundamental skills and the personal development I found that you learn in the network marketing industry, because it can be ruthless. You got to deal with the people and the shit talking and the pyramid scheme talk. And I've heard it all too. And I want to talk, I'm just teeing this up for you because it's a lot, but also it creates tough skin. It creates this resilience that it's like when you go and start your own thing, it's like, oh wow, this is so much easier, not easier, but it's different. But you have this like these fundamentals that you've had to put up with so much shit for so many years that it's almost like it's easier, right? What did you?
Yes, amen.
Tell me about your experience and some of the things now when you look back, you're like, oh, wow, you have to go through that in order to be able to have that now, you know, and speak to us about that a little bit.
Yes. Oh, I love this conversation so much. So I want to say our first part of this conversation is really like me speaking from 15 years of experience. Like, this conversation of rebalancing of energies, like, this is the now. This is not what happened when I was building the foundations and the fundamentals and learning the skills. So I think that's important to note for the listeners. Like, we're not doing this at the beginning stages. At the beginning stages, we're trying to figure it all out. Now, 15 years later, what I'm trying to figure out is how do I have the best experience on this journey that feels ultra fulfilling, that feels like this wild obsession, but in this way that is not the startup phase. So the startup phase and the network marketing days, I also feel that you and I are of this generation that is ultra disciplined. You know, I do see everything you talk about now is like, yes, I, you know, I'm working from my laptop in Dubai And it makes it seem like every single person can do that. And it is false promise. And this is why I have so much respect and love for network marketing, because I always say, like, allow this to be your gateway into entrepreneurship. And not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. And so it's like the training ground. This is where you learn the skills. Like right now, I coach a lot of women who have this massive fear of selling. And this is what you learn in network marketing, because basically you're the sales and marketing engine for a product, and you learn the skills of prospecting, inviting, presenting, following up. This is why I get to do what I do now, because I've mastered those skills in my early days. And so, like, allow yourself to learn, allow yourself to, like, the amount of rejection that happens in the network marketing space builds our muscles to not have it affect us at all. Like, to this day, I get rejected. Fantastic. This person, it's a right, not right now, or it's not for me. There's someone else out there for you. Right. So yes, like the training ground, the work ethic, the discipline, the muscles that we built through network marketing has allowed us to be where we are today. And I firmly believe that.
How do you teach the people that you're in? Like you said, how do they, because they do have to do the work. Like they do have to do the masculine things, right? To set things up.
Yeah.
So how do you balance the, I just want everything now kind of thing. Like I want to be my feminine. But then also, well, yes, but you have to do that. You have to set things up. Like, do you have to have that conversation? Like, how does that work? Because I'm sure that people are torn between that, that I just want it all to come. But how do you help inspire them and keep them energized in their feminine while still having to do things? And sometimes it's a shitty work. It's hard. It's hard work some days.
It's hard. The women that I'm setting up with their brands right now, so I really focus on the startup entrepreneur who has a vision, and I support them in bringing that vision to life in 3 months. They're starting with a more balanced foundation. So we create the structure, right? We create their foundation of their brand. We create their offers. We actually work with a lot of, like, the beginning parts are the strategy. So the way that I see it is you're creating the masculine structure. Right? This is your business. This is the structure. These are the offers. This is how you're launching your offers, selling them, creating brand awareness. And then within comes the founder who gets to move in and out of her feminine. So in business, how I like to look at it is if you feel like you're forcing or you're pushing or you're trying too hard, well, this is where the energetics come into play. Okay. This is notice for you to step back and see, how do I do it differently that feels more in alignment? So you can see we're really flowing in and out of the masculine and feminine energies. And so for me in business, the feminine, it's the alignment. So everything that I say yes to or every decision that I take has to feel in alignment. Now, let's look at brand awareness. So a lot of the women I work with, most of the women right now are startups, so they don't have a brand. So right now, in order to sell their, their offers, their coaching packages, they need to build brand awareness. So let's take podcasting. Well, you might have to pitch yourself 100 times in order to get one interview at the beginning, right? This is the network marketing. Talk to 10, get one. Well, maybe with podcast pitching, you pitch 100 and you get one. Well, that one becomes your evidence and you get to use that to book more. So yes, you're building the muscle, but you're also doing the action that feels good. So maybe in that one day you're supposed to pitch podcasts, but your energy's blah. You're like, oh, I don't want to pitch today. I'm getting all this rejection. Great. Choose something that feels energetically aligned for you to take inspired action on for that day, right? It's like, don't force it. If it doesn't feel good, park it and come back to it. So that's really the flow, especially like in this phase of startup. Now, when we move to scaling, so scaling really becomes doing more of what you're currently doing, the startup phase, but now you have a team to support you at the execution, right? You might have better systems and structures in place to flow in between those, and there is a bigger focus on the energetics. So it's like, who do I need to become in order to now scale to $20,000 to $50,000 to $100,000 months? Now we're playing more in the energetics and the identity work and the reprogramming. So I feel startup is a lot more masculine, right? Like we're dealing with a lot more strategy, and then scaling becomes more energetics, like you becoming the person that can hold $100,000 months. Now, I had an interesting conversation with a friend, and she's like, well, if you're claiming $250,000 months, why don't you just claim $1 million months? Like the quantum field universe God is not judging, right? So this is where we then look at, okay, well, can your nervous system hold the energetics, the idea of you holding $1 million months? And oftentimes, this is where the work comes in, right? This is where I realized I still have dust bunnies coming up from my Polish immigrant upbringing. So the work that I'm doing now, 15 years in, is like recalibration of my nervous system to hold more. Like I've reached my, you know, a great max, but if I want more, then this is the work. Again, I'm like pointing to my chest, like we're expanding the capacity to hold more.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important because you can only achieve to the level that your nervous system can hold, that container. It's so powerful to think about. Like your belief system, you can't subconsciously, if you can't hold that, if you don't believe you're worthy, right? When things get big, you'll sabotage. I've been through this so many times. And it's just such an important lesson to remember that, like, it's sometimes you don't even have control of it. That's why you have to do the somatic work, right? Or whether it be plant medicine or whether it be, you know, for me, it's breath work. It's, you know, it was psychedelics. Breath. It was just a whole mix of stuff, but still like it's sneaky. The old programming is sneaky. It just slithers in there when you're feeling down or you know, it's not true. You know, the stories aren't true, but you start to believe them sometimes. And it's like, hold on a second here. I've been down this road before.
Old looping. Yes. Old looping. It comes through. Yes. And I think what you're saying, like this like awareness of it. So that's the work right now is every time. But I've also shifted the judgment of it because I used to get really frustrated. Like I've done 15 years of work on this. Why is it still coming up? But now I literally see it as dust bunnies. I see it like residual stuff that's coming up and it's still saying like, it's like a toddler. It's like, Anna, like still look at me like, hey, I'm here. Pay attention to me. And then it's the awareness like, okay, here's the old self. Here's the old programming. It's coming up. I look at it as like a toddler who's just so needy. Like, I love you. Thank you. I'm safe. And we're going for that, you know, whatever that identity that you've set out that you're working towards embodying. And so I'm now grateful for it coming up because it means it's still there. It's showing itself. I'm giving it the love it needs. And I'm saying like, no more. There's that boundary with it. So rather than frustration, it's like gratitude, awareness, healing, clearing, and then allowing it to move by.
What if you had to think of three things, like let's say somebody's listening and they've heard the term like $100,000 months or, you know, $1 million business, but like they're all of a sudden stories start to come up. They start to think about their parents or people say it's not possible, you know, whatever, all the stuff that comes up with the human experience, because we all have it, right? It's just a matter of how do we've dealt with it. And like you said, not judging it, just being part of you that needs to be looked at and loved and cared for. And it's okay. You know, but what are three things that you could suggest to somebody sitting there that may have these things coming up? You know, they get up in the morning or in the evening and they just seem to come up frequently. What would you suggest for them to do?
Yeah, I would say one is definitely breath work. Like you said, I see it as energy that's stuck. It's stuck in our cells. It's stuck in our physical. And so what do we need to do? Like one is awareness, right? So you're now aware of this happening. Great. So what action do we take? So breath work. Yes. Getting stuck energy out of you. I've done I live in this beautiful area, so I've been able to hire a lot of people to support me, like quantum healing with frequency and, you know, like you said, ceremonies and looking into psilocybin. But, you know, if we're just looking at what tools, what can you practice each day? I would say absolutely breath work. Two is I do a moving meditation, which has been so, so powerful. And it's 15 minutes. It's 5 minutes of breathing, box breaths first. Then I really like put my hand on my heart and tune into the gratitude, because we know the saying, like, you have to be grateful for what is now in order to attract what's coming next. But like, do you actually feel the gratitude? Like, not just logically, mentally, but like feeling it in your heart. And, you know, I see the beauty around me and I plug into it and I sit with it and I just feel it. Another thing that I've been actually playing with these emotions is I had a friend say to me, like, Anna, just curious, like, do you love yourself as fiercely as you love love your daughters? And that really hit me. I was like, wow, like I fiercely love my kids. Like, and I can tune into that emotion because I love them so much. And so I'm going to show you here, like I have this picture of me as a 10-year-old girl on my altar. And now I'm able to hold her like this image in my visualization. And I just like tune in and like, I love you as fiercely, like, and I feel it as I love my kids. And that was huge awareness because we're so hard on ourselves. And it's part of programming as well, right? Like being your hardest critic or your toughest critic, like why? You know, so I talked to her in that moment of gratitude and like, we're okay, like we're doing this. It's been great, but it's going to be even better. Like that vision that I'm anchored into right now is so fucking big that like, hey girl, like we're doing it, you know, but feeling it, it's not a mind work. It's feeling work. It's felt work. And that's how you really move into that embodiment. And then I sit in the visualization of that next chapter, you know, what I'm creating. For me, when I connect to a dollar amount, you know, whether it's $100,000 months or $1 million months, I don't get an emotion. So what I need in myself to focus on is like, what does that look like? What is the impact? Like, what are we creating? So it's more so tuning into visualization, into the end outcome of what is created. Because I'm a very generous person with my money. I love to take care of people. I love to support people. And that's all intuitively based. And so focusing in visualization on that, because that dollar amount does nothing for me, you know, like seeing $1 million just coming into bank account each month, like I can't connect with that. So finding your thing, like what allows you to move the stagnant, stuck energy because you brought awareness to it out of your body. This might be dance. This might be breath work. This might be meditation. Finding your thing and making it a practice. And so I do want to note here, like you can see, even in my meditation, it has a masculine structure, right? Like that's the masculine energy is the structure of it. It's 5 minutes per section. I move through three sections, but within it is the feminine energy of really connecting and feeling. And my biggest work has actually been getting into the feeling. Because I used to sit there like, oh, like how do I feel in visualization? Like nothing's coming through, you know, again, that point of awareness and frustration. But for me, it was that hit of like loving yourself as fiercely, like that started to generate emotion. And now I'm able to create it fast.
I love that about being able to understand how much you love your kids and then just being able to like shift that to yourself. That's so powerful. Right? Yes. Like, I mean, that is, and that's so true to just be able to find that love for your inner child, you know, who did their best. And, you know, like that's something for me that has been a lot of the work is like, I'm very hard on myself and I'm very like, oh, you fucked up there. You could have done better. And, you know, the replaying the things. But over the years, I've gotten a lot better at just understanding that I did the best I could in the moment. If I could have done better, I would have, you know, and it's just like, it's okay. And everything is happened on this life path as it was supposed to. And that's a beautiful thing too, to accept, you know, and I think it's so easy to get caught up in all of the decisions our younger self made. And I could have been here. I could have had that, or I could have done this. And it's like, I mean, yeah, well, we all could have made, you know, we'd all be billionaires, you know, but that's, yes, that's the way it goes. Right. And I think being able to really channel that feeling, and I got a lot of that from learning, doing Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, is like really feeling, really like, you know, trying it on, like, who is that person? What does it feel like? Like, really allow yourself to feel like, what would it feel like when you have that money? Like, who would you be with? Like, what, you know, like, really just give yourself the permission. Cause sometimes it's like, we don't, we're like, oh no, that would never happen. Or, you know, it's like, no, just allow yourself to just get stuck in it, you know, like,
yes,
allow yourself to get goosebumps and just like, this, like, completely let go.
Exactly. And once you do that, the pathways, like, they just show up, right? Like, think about the world tour you're on right now. You're in Vietnam. Like, how cool. Like, what happened for you to be here, right? And you have that evidence. But I also feel like the work you're doing is so powerful for men. Like, this is the generation that, like, you guys are the leaders of what's coming next. You know, the whole thing of, like, boys don't cry, or, like, you know, I just look at even my brother, and he was raised tough and I was raised tough. And this is why we're now doing the work. And yes, it's all on purpose, divinely planned for each one of our soul's growth and path. But it's like, I love the work you're doing. And I'm seeing so many men like popping up all over the place and holding these circles for men to feel, for men to shift within themselves, because, like, why not? Yeah. And it's societal programming that created this macho figure and this, you know, persona that men had to live up to, but, like, no more, you know? And so it's all coming together.
Yeah. And even that is a challenge as well, because like, look, I grew up as a hockey player, you know, very disciplined. I got screamed at as a kid, like, but that was the way it was. And I learned a lot from that. Was that the best way? No, but it, like, gave me a lot of, it hardened me a lot, which is a lot of the hardening I have to, like, soften now, which is a lot of the work has been just not being as rigid and on myself. But I also see that it's almost like there's too much of the other side too. And it's like some men get too into the astral. And I think there's this real balance. Like, one of my mentors, Aubrey Marcus, you know, I got to learn from him a few years back, and just like, he really like, seeing him for the first time speak in the way he held himself, I was like, oh, you can talk about those kind of things. You can, like, cry, and you can, but you're still like, you still work out hard and you still look tough. And it's like, you can do it all. You can have it, you can be it all. And I think that's the thing with men and women. It's like, you can embody all of the things. You don't have to be one way or the other. And I think for me, is doing this kind of work with, you know, men, is like, just be yourself. Just, you know, you don't have to look a certain way or be a certain way. Just embody who you are and just own it. You know, and forgive yourself for and stop being so hard on yourself for all the mistakes. You know? And I think a lot of that now, you see, yeah, like, a lot of wounded men that are, like, over the top aggressive, but then you see kind of men that don't have enough masculine. So I think it's important to do the work so that we balance that, you know, and it's a work in progress.
So balance has been the theme of it, right? Like, listen, yeah. I'm back at the gym lifting weights, and that's what I need right now in my 40s. And it feels so good. And so maybe hindsight 2020, you do need to swing ultra, you know, for me, it was really going into both and then coming together and creating that definition. And it seems like that's what it was for you in a way.
And I think that awareness is so important. Like, the fact that you're talking about this and we're having this conversation, it shows, like, a level of maturity in the human experience that you're able to even just be aware. Some people aren't aware of this. Like, they don't even know, and they won't admit that they were a certain way or they did this or that. It's like, and it's just so interesting. And when you talk to people like yourself, I love it, because you have such a good self-awareness that it's like a no-brainer that you're going to lead and be very successful in what you do, right? Because like the key is that awareness of yourself first, you know?
Yeah.
So important.
That's it. Like that's the key to a good life is like start with awareness and awareness in all areas and then start from there. Like that's step one.
Yeah. So now when it comes to entrepreneurship and, you know, you're working with startup strategists to high level women ready to launch and scale. Okay. So obviously the way things have been done the last 15 years is one way. Now we're coming into this like AI craziness time. What does that look like for you? How has all that changed for you? You know, are there some things that you've had to consider or reconsider, or reevaluate with entrepreneurship? Speak to us about what you think is coming and like what you maybe you're talking about and encouraging people to start paying attention to.
I mean, I love the combo of AI because it's here and yeah. There's no going back and it's the future. And so it's interesting to witness, you know, when someone sends an email, I can tell if it's AI or not. Like it's this intuitive instinct. And so there's a piece to it where we need to continue being human. Like don't outsource every single thing to AI. However, there's this beautiful, powerful piece to it that we get to, and as Dan Martell says, like buy back our time. Like, anything that can be done through AI to save you time or money in a business and in your life, like absolutely learn it and use it and continue to grow your knowledge around it because it's so powerful. And I'm seeing myself, you know, just even in creating like what I create within my container, my one-to-one is like a business plan for my client. Well, a lot of it is with AI support. So that makes me a lot more efficient when I'm diving deep into that. And so how can you automate the things that are automatable? And how can you keep your humanness in the things that need to stay human? Like I just had a gratitude text from a friend saying, you know, her gratitude's for all of us that came to her birthday party. I'm like, babe, that's ChatGPT. Like I could tell right away. And so there's going to be this element of, okay, no, this needs to be done through me so that my soul and intuition comes through. And then this piece gets to be outsourced to AI so that I'm efficient when it comes to time and money. So it's a balance again. It's yes, staying like learning it, mastering it, but knowing when to use it. Because there's also the other side that's kind of demonizing it. Like if you use AI, like, oh, you're not like, no, I think it's a fantastic tool that needs to be used properly.
Yeah, it's just kind of retraining the way we think. It's kind of like when the calculator comes in, right? It just saves you time. You know, maybe that part of the brain, we're not doing the full math problem, but, you know, we're getting the answer. And I do think that there's parts of it that do affect the creativity of our brains because just within the last 2 years, just like writing something, there was never that opportunity to even have AI. So it was like
how much time did it take you, right? Like yeah, how much exactly. time did the email sequences take yeah. or the show notes or right? All of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And even writing a book, I didn't have that. Like I can't even imagine now. But I'm glad I didn't have that. But at the same time, like you said, it can be it can really help you, you know, cut down on the bullshit that you don't need to be spending time on, especially if you don't want to pay extra. I used to have to pay all these different people to do these little jobs. And now it's like, yes. Well, I can just get this done. But yeah, I think it's really important to know that we still got to use the humanness. And I think that's why podcast conversations are so important in building, you know, a brand that's trustworthy because there's going to be so much bullshit and so much fake stuff, fake AI profiles and fake this, fake that. There's so much fakeness out there already. It's already hard. People just, you know, there's buying influence, buying this, buying that. It's insane. So I think like real human connection, you can't fake that. Real conversations, you know, real authentic, you know, things like this, you know, and getting on stages and speaking. I mean, you can't really AI that stuff. Like that's the realness that people are going to crave, and they're going to crave it more and more, I think.
Absolutely. And I think this is a huge point for entrepreneurs. It's like, yes, we are going to crave that. There's going to be a lot. There's already a lot of bullshit. Like you said, there's going to be more. And so where can you bring in that human connection? Podcasting, attending events, going to retreats and masterminds, going to the conferences, like getting yourselves in the rooms of authentic, real humans. And that's not going to go away. Actually, we're going to see more of it. And so be the creator in that, in a sense of like, right now, if you're thinking of offers to create or whatever your business is, it's like, okay, well, how do you, as the leader of your brand, add more humanness to it? And so I think it's going to go both ways. Like we're going to, for me, I'm going to continue using it for efficiency, productivity, especially when it comes to time and money, right? Saving time and money. And then more of this human interaction and connection and collaboration. You know, collaboration is such a huge word, like 2025 moving forward, but not like collaboration in that, I don't know. I feel like there was the word collaboration over the last 5 years has been used so much, but I mean like true authentic collaboration. I can tell you this. I got together with a girlfriend in Kelowna for a hike this summer. And I said to her, I said, let's put together a mastermind, but like a real mastermind. Like no one's making a profit. We're all coming. We're coming from different industries, different experiences, different backgrounds. And we're coming together in Tulum to actually mastermind. It was the catalyst, like for every single one of us, for like mind-blowing transformation. Like there's no going back behind this. And we just decided yesterday to now make it a monthly Zoom mastermind until we meet again in Kelowna, and then we're doing it again in Tulum. So like create these spaces for yourself that are true, authentic collaboration. Because we also got into this, like, again, the numbers, right? Like $1 million months. But for me to create $1 million months, I need to do $100,000 retreats. Well, again, like let's step back and see, okay, yes, you can have that as part of your brand, but where does this like human, authentic connection, collaboration come in? Like, what does that look like for you? And I can tell you, best experience of my life, which is a big, bold statement.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. Getting in the room with people is so huge. Like having these events and talking about ideas and getting on the frequency of that idea, of those ideas, right?
Yes.
Like, yes. Like I remember the first time I went to Tony Robbins, I was like, what is this? This is insane. But it's like you rise to, you get to the, and same with any event that obviously, I mean, that you've put on as well. Like when you get the collective at that frequency, then that's when big shit happens fast.
Yes. Like you and I met at MYM.
Yeah. That was, right? Yeah, that was intense. Yeah.
That was epic. And it was amazing because we were what, like 200, 300 people in a room. And, you know, I got to learn your story and we really connected human to human. And now look, what, 2 years later, we get to have this conversation. And I'm sure there's been so much growth for both of us in between. But like, yes, get in the rooms. And then I remember with Tony Robbins, like this was so early on. I went to UPW in Dallas, but then it was actually holding, right? Like, everything we generated in that room, what I realize now is I didn't have the experience, the work behind me to actually stay in that frequency. Whereas now, one of the things in our mastermind chat, I'm like, ladies, like I am holding on to consciously to all that energy, all that creativity, all of that, everything that we generated together, like I'm embodying it. It's now a part of me. Like I now have the capacity and the awareness to be able to do that. So there hasn't been any dips in a sense, and dips are normal, but it's different. There's this level of experience that comes with it.
Yeah. It's, and a thing like Tony Robbins, you go, I mean, when I went, that was kind of like the first real big event that I didn't understand what he was talking about most of the time. Like it was just so
excited,
but now I get it. You know, this was 2019. I went, and now, you know, 2025, I've been doing this work. And I'm like, oh shit, that if I was to do that again, it would be so different because it was all new. Right. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, you read the books, you do the personal development, but for speak for myself, it was just so, it was like drinking water from a fire hose. I was like, what is this? Like, this is insane. I loved it. I was walking on fire, but I was like, I didn't understand what he was saying. Like, but now when I hear him talk and he goes on podcasts, I'm like, oh, I get that now. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yes.
You know?
It's yes. And I do. And oh, how amazing. And same with Joe Dispenza. Like, I'm sure the first retreats, right? It's like, this guy is talking science, but I don't get it. But I know I'm meant to be here. Yeah. And now it's like, okay, I've anchored into it. I've done the work in between to understand, like not even understand from like a logical, but like from that deep embodied space.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's why I think doing things like events and putting yourself into those rooms and that collective energy is so important. So what do you got? So let's, as we wrap up here, what do you got going on that if people want to check more of your work, you know, maybe walk us through a little bit of what they can expect and how they can learn more about you.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. Well, we're also launching a pickleball brand behind the scenes. And I remember I was coaching with Neil Donald Walsh last year. And I said, you know, I've always created brands that are impact driven. And I said, like, pickleball, like, how come this is coming through me? And he's like, it's like, you don't think pickleball is impactful? And I kind of looked at him and he's hilarious. He's awesome. And I laughed. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, Anna, you're supporting people in movement and pleasure and play and fun and enjoyment. I was like, yes, thank you for the reminder. So it's interesting how we get into our heads, right? So that's happening behind the scenes. But yeah, right now I'm focused on supporting women to bring their, and I mean, and men. I just haven't had any male coaching clients. I think I just attract the female, but it really is about bringing their vision to life. And we do it in those balanced energies that we talked about in the show. And then my passion is also to really bring these high-powered, you know, successful female entrepreneurs who built their empires in the masculine, to bring them to Tulum and allow them to experience this ultra luxurious but yet feminine embodiment work, so that they can rebalance their energies. So that's a big mission of mine leaning into this year as well.
Love it. Awesome. Okay, one more question before we wrap up. If somebody is struggling right now with adversity, what is one piece of advice you have for them today?
Go inward. Go inward and start that process. You know, like really tune in and see like, what is coming up for you? Where's it coming from? Is it yours? Is it someone else's? And start that deep inner work. Don't attach timelines to it. No goals. Just be. And that is that work is sitting in the inner space where all growth and transformation happens, and be with it and feel it. Like, allow yourself to feel what you're going through, and that'll lead you to the next steps. But go within, and then, you know, seek the support. Who can then support you in moving through what you don't see right now? But step one is to go within and start there.
Love it. Love this conversation. Love what you're doing, Anna. This was so great to connect.
Thanks for having me. What a great convo.
So fun. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.